everyone. Welcome back to the Time for Truth, a radio ministry of New Testament Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Today's message is brought to you by Brother Larry Lafferty.
Psalms 38, beginning in verse 4, the Bible says, "For my iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart." I'd like to preach, "The Lord be my helper," as when your defeat turns to victory. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your watch care. We thank You for Your blessings on our church. Lord, we pray tonight that You would stand the devil at bay, Lord, that we might feast on Your Word once again. Lord, every idle thought, every idle word that might be set aside so that we might focus in on Your goodness and Your grace and Your Word. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to notice a number of things. First of all, if you know this text well, you know that it has come from the time when David had a sin with Bathsheba. It also is suggested of his remorseful prayer in Psalms 51. Some others suggest that this even came from a multiple sin in David's life. Let me say in the beginning, there's every one of us that has multiple sins. Every one of us tonight, whether we want to admit it or not, stand in some level of defeat. Now, I did not say that you were lost. Don't misconstrue my words. I said that every one of us stand in some level of defeat tonight. Now, we find that that was the situation with David. The Bible says of David, he was a man after God's own heart. So to be in that situation, he could not be redeemed. I mean, he could not be lost. He had to be redeemed. A man that is after God's own heart is one that God has put himself into. And so he was a saved man in a destitute situation. He was completely defeated. Have you ever had situations like that where you felt there were no reasons to go on? Have you ever had situations where you thought within yourself you would never be any further use for the Lord? Have you ever been in a situation where there seemed to be no hope at all? That's what David was experiencing. He was in defeat. And let me say this first of all, Satan will put you in defeat. He will not, he cannot cast you into hell. He cannot cause you to go to hell. But I will say this, he will cause you to live in defeat. If I see anything today in the Lord's churches, it's a defeated people. A defeated people is a people that's held captive. A defeated people is a people with their back broke. A defeated people are people that have no hope whatsoever. But you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your defeat can become victory. Your defeat can be something more than rolling around in the mud. Verse 4, the Bible says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head." Now, I want you to see, first of all, that little bit of sin that you're playing with, it can drown you. It can take you down. And listen, I'm not talking about what man deems as gross sin. We always want to gauge sin, don't we? We want to say, this is an okay sin, this is a little sin, this is a horrific sin. But you know what? The Bible does not do that. Sin is sin. And if you let the devil have that much of your life, it can consume you. In fact, it will consume you. And so we see then, he says, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me." What a blessed, wonderful thing. Your burden's too heavy tonight, give them to the man called Jesus. If your burdens are too heavy, you can't move forward, give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a burden bearer. He takes the problem away. And we need to claim that as God's people. "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Now, I do want to point out one thing in verse 5. His problem was because of his foolishness. I do want you to see that does not say stupidity. It does not say ignorance. It says foolish. We need to be very careful with the knowledge that we have and we don't be foolish with it. We need to be very cautious with the time that we have with our little ones and don't be foolish with it. Don't waste it. And so we see that David's problem was that he was just foolish with what he did. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Now, I do want you to see this. There is some amount of grief in David's life because he says, I go mourning all the day long. But I want you to see, despite that sorrow over sin, he did not gain relief. And that's when you live a defeated life. It goes beyond being caught. You know, a lot of people are sorry. They're sorry they got caught. But we see David was more sincere that he was mourning and yet found no relief. You've ever been there? Very, very grievously broken over sin. But you know why? Because God grants relief. You can't claim it. God grants forgiveness. You can't demand that of an almighty sovereign God. And so I want you to see that this was the situation David found himself in. Verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of my disquietness of my heart. Two things. I ask you this week, have you roared out to God? Have you cried out to Him? Now, I want you to see that the missing element most of us have today is that disquietness of heart. Our hearts are quiet, aren't they? You ever seen a stone make any noise? They don't do it. Stony hearts are a problem today in the Lord's churches. But we find David here, despite all the problems, his heart was disquieted. It was making noise. It was grieving him at his soul. That's what we need. You want revival at New Testament Baptist Church or anywhere else, that's what it's going to take. You know what's the very best thing that you can have is some sleepless nights. You know when you're troubled over sin, it's when you lose sleep over it. We have so much going on today, we don't realize that, but I want you to see that David did. Now, David defeated, David taken down by sin, David never certain that he would rise again, the same David that fled from Absalom, the same David that fell from Saul, that fled from Saul, defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. And yet, a man after God's own heart. Are you defeated tonight? Do you live in defeat? Do you stand in defeat? Most people say, well, no, Pastor, I don't stand in defeat. Well, we'll see. Because what I found from studying this, that many times I live and stand in defeat on a daily basis, and I believe from the Word of God that I can show you that. Go with me to Psalms 92, just a little further over. Psalms 92, and we'll begin reading in the very first verse. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Here we find David in great victory. The very same man that was pulled down, the very same man that the devil had twisting and turning. Now we see in Psalms 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You want to be revived tonight? You want to live on the victory side? Begin to give thanks to the Lord. If we would do that with any sincerity at all, each of us tonight, we would take up the next 2 weeks and thanking God for what He's done for us. Amen. The breath of life, salvation that is full and free, His dear sweet Son going to the cross of Calvary and bearing mine iniquity. Oh, we could praise Him and praise Him. Give praise to the Lord. That's what we need to do. You know why our churches are dead and drying up, one by one, going down? It's because we live in defeat and we do not live in victory. You want to live in victory, you begin to give thanks to our Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to shew forth my loving kindness, Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. Oh, what a blessed, wonderful thing. David began to know things about his God that he had never known before. His faithfulness at night. I ask you tonight, what's going to keep you breathing while you're asleep? What's going to keep that old ticker ticking while you're sleeping? I'll tell you, it's the grace of God.
Amen.
He will keep doing that. But how often have you praised Him for that? I'm about 46 and a half years old. How many times have I praised Him for all those heartbeats across 46 years? Probably never. See, we ought to give Him praise. We want to see miraculous things, and we want to see money, and we want to see these things in our life. Praise Him for the little things. That's what David did. Upon the instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp in a solemn sound, for Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. Notice that. He was glad. He was happy. He was in victory by recognizing God's work. That will bring you victory. I will triumph in the works of Thy hand. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. We find a man now who is living in victory. A man that had gone past the normal. A man that was being used of the Lord in a great way. So what brought him to this point? What made the change from living in defeat and to living in victory? Number one, if you'll follow this, in Psalms 51, he confessed his sins. You want to live in victory tonight? Confess your sins. What did Peter say? Confess your faults one to another and pray ye for one another. What happened to that? What happened to that command to the Lord's churches? Well, I'll tell you what happened is we quit using it. We set it aside. We no longer claim it as a truth. And the reason for that is simply that we might be embarrassed. We might be feeling a little awkward. And so we see then that we find this man, David, that at one time was very much overridden with sin, and now he gives praise to the Lord. His defeat was turned to victory. Go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. If you know your Bible, you know what this is. It's the crucifixion of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in one sense, that day there was a great defeat. God's very Son, taking on the form of flesh, died for those that are His. Now look with me, if you will, in chapter 27, verse 26. Then released He Barabbas unto them, and when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. He was scourged. He was whipped with that cat of nine tails that ripped His body to shreds. He endured that for us. You know what? Can you imagine even going on for a minute after such a horrific beating? That was an assault against who He was. Verse 28 says they stripped Him of His clothes. Verse 29, they plaited a crown of thorns and jammed it into His head. They made it as painful as they possibly could. Verse 30, they smote Him. Verse 39, they reviled Him. You said, well, I would never do that. Well, if you've rejected Him, you have. And I'm not talking about in salvation. I'm talking about rejecting His will for your life. You know what? There is a perfect will in everyone's life that's before me this evening. Now the question is, do you live in it? If you do, praise be His name. If you don't, I would bind it. Verse 41, He was mocked. Can you imagine the dying Son of God being mocked by His accusers? They went by Him and said, Hail, King of the Jews, in a mocking, deliver thyself, come down from the cross. They jeered Him on and on and on. He did that for us. Now, can you imagine the very deity, the Son of God, strung on a cross, enduring this for us? Do you think He felt defeated? do you think he felt worn down by this? I think in the flesh he did. I think that he felt that he was rejected. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's a very clear answer to that question. You know why he forsook, well, God the Father forsook the Son? He forsook him because my sin was laid upon his back. Every one of us that have been born again, your stinking, grotesque, filthy, ungodly sin made God the Father turn his back on his dear Son. That's what the problem was. That was the issue. And I ask you, how defeated he was. He gave up the ghost. Verse 50, he yielded up the ghost. And I do want you to see, they did not take it from him. He yielded it up. And then he was laid. Then he was laid in a grave. You know what? For man's idea, that's defeat. For man's idea, it was over. For man, they thought they'd won a great victory in putting this mocking Jew out of the way. But what a blessed, wonderful thing. He did not stay there. You know what? Everybody says on the third day he arose. You know what? Your Bible will never really say that. And they discovered he was risen. Right? He spent 3 days and three nights. Where? In a grave? No, the Bible says he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And I personally believe he was in Abraham's bosom. All those that looking forward to the wonderful remedy of sin, seeing him preaching grace to those individuals in that place. What a blessed, wonderful thing. He didn't have to stay there. So because of his sweetness, because of his kindness, because of his willingness, defeat was turned to victory. Defeat was turned to victory. Now I ask you this evening, what about in your own personal life? Now I don't know what any of you have been doing in preparation for our conference, if anything, but I would suggest that you fast. Every time I fast, I learn more and more about my core, about who I am, about why I do things. And every one of you will do the same. If you trust me on that and you follow through, you'll learn. And you know what I have found? I found weepingly that many times my heart and my mind is not where it should be. My heart and my mind, and even sometimes doing things in a pretense. You say, oh, Brother Larry, saved men, preaching men ought not to do that. Well, if that's the case, you don't have the same flesh as I do. But you know what? I don't believe that. I think the level is honesty. Yeah. I think the issue is honesty, don't you? You want to admit that you've let the Lord down? Do you want to admit that there's private sin in your life? You want to admit that? That is how it's to be dealt with. Now, I want you to go with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I want to begin reading in verse 20. We find the churches of Galatia, and there were more than one. It was a group of churches. So that means this problem spanned more than one church. It spanned a number of churches. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Now, when he begins to read these sins and these problems in the flesh, we always kind of lose the umph after Indians, murder, and drunkenness. We can come to mind people who will take others' lives. We can bring to our mind the town drunk, and we really bear down on them, and the others are left aside. But I want you to see the ones that he groups together with these. He says, variance. Now, what is a variance? What does that entail? What does that mean? It means strife, or creating strife. In other words, I'm a variance at Matthew. We have opposing views. That is a variance. Now you think about this week. Have you been in a variance with your husband? Have you been in a variance with your wife? Are you in a variance against the Lord's church? A variance is where you have that problem. There's something there that is creating contention. It's strife. You know, the devil dearly loves to bring variance into a church. He dearly loves to put people at opposition. He is a mastermind of it. And he will do it on something so very simple, which really is no more than opinion. That's a variance. And we see that a lot today in the Lord's churches. Secondly, I want you to see that He says hatred. Hate will tear a church down. It will bring it down to nothing. I've seen it happen. We need to leave that with the Lord. He also warns us of emulations. It's a contingency. A rivalry, a jealousy. I want to be the best preacher. I want to be the best piano player. I want to be the best dad. I want to be the very best mom. And you know what? That's wonderful ambitions, but when you begin to be at variance, I'm better than you. My skirts are longer than your skirts. I'm better than you. My children are more behaved than your children. You know what? The devil already has us. He brings churches to nothing with that. It happened at Galatia. And remember, that was more than one church. It wasn't a single church such as the church at Corinth. It was more than one church. More than one entity had this problem. We don't need rivalry anywhere in the Lord's churches. Did you know that? No big I's and little U's. We don't need that at all in the Lord's churches. You want to be effective in the cause of Christ? That's what we need. So we see in the first verses there, 19, 20, and 21, we see a very defeated, sinful picture. You know, churches can be defeated. Churches can live in a dry, broken time. And so I want you to see, then we can bring it to victory by the Word of God. We can bring that situation to a much better walking with the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S Spirit, the Holy Ghost, those that He embeds in us when we've been born again, I want you to see how it's described. Love. You know what? Sad to say, I see people rejoicing in their salvation and glad what the Lord does to them, has done for them, and they love people. They're interested in spreading the gospel. You see a change in their life, and then they get around some of the church people, and what's missing in them? Love.
Amen.
We need to love one another. You want an effective church at New Testament? We need to. That is the very minimal fruit of the Spirit. Joy. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Joy. Happiness. How many people look happy tonight? How many people came to glorify our Lord and God, the great God Jehovah? How many people are joyful tonight? Love, joy, peace. And we always think about that peace of the Spirit, and that's true. But what did He tell us? Live peaceably among you. Peace in the church. Peace where we get along together. Peace where we can come to one line and go serve the Lord continually. That is a peace. You talk about a peace that passeth all understanding when God groups His people together and they go on as one for the cause of Christ. Long suffering, gentleness. You see the fifth fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. How gentle are you? I think in the modern day men, we think that's a female attribute, don't we? But is that what the Bible says? Nope. We as men, now you don't have to be a sissy, but you can be gentle. You can approach your children in gentle discipline. You can approach your wife gently. You can approach the sinner, the one that that is just rolled up in their sin, and gently teach them the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is being gentle. You know what? Sin is filthy. Sin is disgusting. But you know what? That isn't the place to start. We need to be gentle. Goodness, faith. I'll mention faith very briefly. And notice it does not say the faith the oracle is delivered to the saints. It's just faith. How much do you believe Him?
Yeah.
When He said, with me all things are possible, did you believe it? That's faith, ain't it? When He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am you may be also. Do you have faith with that? Do you have faith? It says that He doeth all things well. Do you have faith in that? Even when the news is bad, even when there's not enough money left, even when the house is gone and the cars are gone and the health is gone, there's nothing seemingly left. Do you believe it is well? You know, what about the Shunammite woman? Man, that boy was dead back at her house. She'd laid his little body aside and she was going along the way to see Elijah, and somebody said, how's it going? It is well. And she said, she found another person. How's it going? It's well. And you know how she said that? She said it on the merit of the great God Jehovah. She knew it could be well. You know what? I believe she had every faith whatsoever that God would rise him again. And you know what? By His wonderful power, He did it. So I ask you tonight, how is it for you? Where are you at? What is your situation tonight? Where in this schism of things are you living in defeat? Or are you living in victory? This evening, can you say, I have victory in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did this for me even today. That is living in victory. Oh, I mean, we want the big time stuff. We want the Cadillac and the bank figures and all that. You know what? Victory comes in just simply knowing that God is able.
Thank you for joining us for the Time for Truth. Our services here at New Testament Baptist Church are Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m. for the Sunday preaching hour, and our midweek service begins at 7 p.m. Our building is located at 805 Nancourt Drive in Dover, Tennessee, and we would love to see you there. If you're listening, we would enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 145 in Dover, Tennessee, 37058. You can email our pastor, Brother Larry Lafferty, at preacher@clarksville.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Testament Baptist Dover. Once again, thank you for listening, and tune in next week at this same time for another Time for Truth.